Today is June 23rd, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
Now this week, the iPhone frenzy jumped to a new level, fueled by two cleverly managed announcements from Apple. We're looking in particular at two angles on the iPhone situation. First, Apple's getting bigger, and second, how the heck did they do this to us?
Amidst all the speculation and secrecy surrounding details of the iPhone rollout, one thing is certain. The iPhone market is 12 times bigger. Actually, the cell phone market is 12 times bigger than the iPod market. This week, we look at the ramifications for Apple Incorporated should they be successful in that marketplace. Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster sets the tone saying, quote, "The total audience for cell phones is so huge, it's shocking what it does to Apple's numbers," unquote. In the near term, Mr. Munster sees iPhone sales doubling Apple's size from about $24 billion U.S. in annual sales right now to $42 billion U.S. That difference alone is about 36 million phones, or less than 4% of the total cell phone market. Charles Wolf, an independent analyst, sees Apple selling 100 million phones this year, actually 100 billion phones a year within 10 years. Meanwhile, of course, Apple's core business are growing. USA Today says Apple's share of the home computer market has gone from 3.2% in May 2004 to 7.6% in May of 2007. Apple has sold 100 million iPods and 2.5 billion songs at the same time.
Wow. Now, all of this helps explain why, after an up-and-down ride during the Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple's stock largely rebounded this week to close at $123. That's U.S. dollars. The Mac and iPod maker's stock dropped below $120 throughout last week and closed on Friday at $120.50.
But that's last Friday.
Last Friday it is. Okay, but now on Monday morning, though, it began to recover and climbed up over $123, and apparently I should start checking my calendar to make sure I have my days right.
The company stock slipped after what many considered to be a lackluster and disappointing keynote presentation at WWDC by Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Analysts and consumers had expected new products, but Mr. Jobs instead focused on features of the upcoming macOS 10.5 release. Now, listeners of this podcast and readers of TMO, of course, knew not to expect new products, but that's a whole other issue.
Yes, it is. Now, the other big story this week had to do with Apple's iPhone. It's been quite extraordinary to watch the coverage wind up over the course of this month, and students of marketing, politics, and media, they should all be taking notes. But this week brought something truly interesting.
The iPhone doesn't even ship for another week, but it has already received a few notable upgrades. The list includes improved battery life, a clearer, more durable facade, and an integrated YouTube player.
There are details in each of these, and we could highlight the additional minutes that you'll be able to yammer away on the product, or whether you could use your iPhone display surface as a high-powered optical microscope. But the extraordinary thing is the amount of coverage this product is getting in the run-up to its release. And not everyone is pleased, of course. We pointed to a Slate article this week that complained about the media circus surrounding the product rollout.
In the first few weeks of June, we had the Actually, in the first week of June, we had the rumor mongering about WWDC. In the second week of June, we had news about Safari on iPhone. Now we have these new software and hardware features. Next week, the hum will get even louder. After all, sometime before the first iPhone is sold, either Apple or AT&T will have to release the subscription and data plan pricing. And as people start camping out, local TV stations will start sending out camera crews. And then, of course, all during July, will be washed over in iPhone reviews.
In all, Harvard University business professor David Yoffe believes that Apple has received about $400 million in free publicity surrounding the iPhone. And if you take that into account based on what Apple actually made as a profit last quarter, which was some $770 million, that's a substantial amount of money to a company like Apple.
Indeed it is, Jeff.
Now, also in the news this week, Apple Inc. has met the deadline imposed by the European Commission to respond to concerns over possible antitrust violations involving the iTunes Store. Now, this is a different story from the whole opening Fair Play to other devices story that we've covered in detail in the past. In this case, the European Commission, not to be confused with the Consumer Council or Ombudsman of Norway, that's a completely different story. The European Commission has been looking into allegations that the pricing structure and purchase restrictions at the iTunes Store violate some EU laws. Now, the problem exists because citizens in one country aren't able to purchase songs from an iTunes Store in a different country. The result is that some customers that are purchasing songs in their native country's currency are paying more or less for a song than if they had purchased from a nearby country in a different currency. As a result, some consumers are frustrated with the pricing structure. Now, Apple claims the situation was imposed by the record labels, and Apple was not singled out in the investigation. The commission also sent statement of objections to unnamed major record labels. And currently, the commission is reviewing Apple's response, which has not been made public. Until we know something about either Apple's filing or the commission's next move, it's really hard to say anything about what's going on or what will happen next. So we'll have to keep an eye on it, and we'll certainly tackle the topic in an upcoming Context Machine when the time comes.
And finally, Apple's sales to the consumer market continued to grow. NPD reported this week that the company's share of online and brick-and-mortar sales for desktop and laptop computers rose to 13% of the total consumer market in May of 2007. Now, it's a mouthful, but hopefully you followed it. NPD said Apple's portable sales claimed 14% of the consumer space, while desktops alone claimed some 10.4%.
Now, it's interesting to note that Apple claimed some 10.8% of the brick-and-mortar market alone, which is up from 9.6% in April. Now, we find that notable because Apple has achieved this despite the fact that it only sells through its own 180 or so Apple retail store locations, a few CompUSAs and some Best Buys, and then several third-party Apple retail locations as well. The other brands competing with Apple sell through Circuit City, Best Buy, CompUSA, Dry's, Micro Center, Staples, Office Depot, and on and on.
In other words, Apple has a lot fewer points of sale in the brick-and-mortar space than all of its competitors combined, yet their total sales, their total percentage of those sales is continuing to rise, and that's good news for the platform.
Yes, it is. And with that, let's hop into the Context Machine. And we do have some interesting topics this week that we can discuss. First of which, let's take a look at Apple's growth.
Okay, let's do that.
I think we should. All right, so as Apple's growing, there's been a talk about the iPhone success and whether or not there really will be this whole iPhone success and what the whole product rollout is going to do to Apple's numbers. So since I started off with the lead-in, why don't you come back with what you think those numbers are going to do?
Apple is certainly an ever-growing company. I mean, there are more resources in the company. There's more profits. Wall Street's going to be happy. This is basically good news, especially in that the company is growing its product line in a way that, in my opinion, makes sense. Everything that the company is doing is very complementary right now, and so to see the company grow is a good thing. We're going to have some hiccups. We're going to have some problems. There are going to be issues with customer service at some point. You know, all these little road bumps that come with massive growth. But I'm pretty sure that Apple will be able to handle it in the long run.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Now, one thing that I'm going to be watching as the iPhone rollout happens, and then of course in the weeks that follow, when we see what type of response the product is getting from consumers, I'm going to be watching Apple's stock numbers. I've seen some analysts say that Apple has or that Apple stock has already accounted for the iPhone sales in the stock value. But then I also see analysts talking about how the Apple stock could be hitting $160 12 months from now, things like that, which makes me question whether or not some of these analysts are actually really believing that the whole value thing has already been accounted for in Apple stock. So I'm going to be watching that closely, even though I don't have any stock.
Well, I do have a small stake in Apple. That's something that should be made clear. And for the sake of what's that phrase?
Disclosure.
Disclosure. Thank you, Jeff. I don't have anything to add.
Well, I'm so glad I was able to get that so succinct and to remember disclosure for you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I'm there for you. Now, as far as Apple's growth, not just in a stock value, but as a company, people have been talking, especially since January, when Apple dropped the computer name officially and became Apple Inc. People have been saying, oh my God, they're not going to be a computer company anymore. The Mac is going to be slighted. If the iPhone gets really successful and hits these 100 million unit sales that some analysts are predicting, do you think that Apple will start to slight its other products?
No, I think that could be nothing but good for the Mac platform. There's going to be more profits for the company to use in R&D. Now, a lot of that R&D might be going into future phones, and a lot of it's going to be going into iPod stuff. Some of it's going to be going into iTunes stuff. Some of it's going to be going into software, and some of it's going to be going into the Mac platform, both hardware and software. It's nothing but good news. I mean, keep in mind that Apple, as long as Steve Jobs is at the helm, Apple is going to make Macs. Why? Because Steve Jobs doesn't want to use a Windows machine. I mean, seriously, that right there alone, as long as Steve Jobs is at the helm of Apple, the company will make computers because he wants to use a computing solution that's elegant and, you know, and gets out of his way and all these other things, all the same reasons that that we like our Macs, he wants to use a Mac. So people being worried about that is just silly to me.
Okay, so just to be fair, the way I asked that question was kind of a setup because I knew what you were going to say.
Of course, and the other aspect of it is that right now, roughly half of Apple's sales are coming from the Mac. So let's say the company doubles to 40 some odd billion dollars a year in sales, and let's say they do it relatively quickly. So is the company somehow going to just magically excise 25% of its sales? No,
not likely.
So I just want to slap people upside the head that are saying things like that.
Now, I have something to add to that, which is...
Do.
Oh, thank you. People are forgetting that what Apple has created is a very broad platform, and that platform is Mac OS X, or as they're calling it now, OS X. And OS X is the foundation.
Well, OS X is iPhone. Mac OS X is still...
Right.
What we use on our computers.
Right, but if you speak in a general sense, not product specific.
Fair enough.
We have OS X, which is a broad platform that covers the iPhone, and then we have the Apple TV, and we have Mac OS X, the Macintosh, and so we have all these devices that are built on essentially the same foundation. And that's not something that Apple has done by accident. So I
nope.
really think that the Macintosh is a critical part of this entire world domination scheme, if you will, that Apple has. And the Macintosh will be critical in managing data flow between all these devices. And don't forget that the Macintosh is also the de facto standard in the graphic arts industry. So if you want to pick up a magazine, read a billboard as you're going down the street, read a book, whatever. All these things happen because of Macintosh. So that's a whole market that Apple is not going to turn away from.
Nope.
Not at all. All right, so.
What's next?
what's next? Let's talk about iPhone products. We already know we have the iPhone coming out on June 29th. And I'm curious what you think is going to be coming down the pipe as far as other iPhone-related products from Apple.
From Apple. Well, from Apple and everyone else, there's going to be iPhone cases. Lots of cases are going to be coming out.
Yes, I expect to see tons of cases. I expect to see companies coming up with their own version of earbuds for the iPhone.
Sure.
The earbuds that the iPhone ships with or will ship with include an inline microphone with a little push button control on it, so you can answer calls or not. And it uses the exact same earbuds, at least that's what the pictures look like, that all the other iPod products are using. What I expect to see before long will be replacement iPhone-specific earbuds that have the inline microphone push button thing, but have the higher end earbuds and the ear canal type, over the ear type, just like we already have with the iPod market. I think that becomes a whole new market for all the same earbud manufacturers. Now they can recreate all their products for the iPhone.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to see a lot of that. You know, I think that the what we can't see coming from both Apple and the rest of the market might be, well, particularly in Apple in this case, is simply new services or you know, some kind of wacky, crazy accessory that allows the iPhone to do things. I mean, so we'll probably certainly be seeing speakers and whatnot accommodate the iPhone, and you know, who knows what kind of attachments to hook your iPhone up to a TV so that you can play your pictures. I think that those are the kinds of things we can expect, to, if not from third-party developers, but to come from Apple.
I think that's a safe bet. I'm also expecting in the, well, probably not this year, but sometime next year, a second iPhone model, maybe something a little smaller.
A second iPhone model. I would be very surprised by that. But we will definitely see. I would be very surprised by that. I don't think the iPhone can get much smaller in that the screen needs to be as big as it is for what it's supposed to do. And if you take away the screen, so for instance, the you know, call it the iPhone Shuffle, well, now you can't dial anything. I mean, I don't know. I think that reductions in size of this device will be in thickness and some coming at the top and the bottom, but I don't think it's going to change much on the width side.
Okay, so form factor, from what you're thinking, will probably stay the same, but maybe
roughly
we'll
the
see.
Same. It'll be degrees of the very, very small degrees.
Okay, so cool, fair enough. But what you're expecting to see might be other models that have different features. In the same
general form factor. No, I'm not. I've said I would actually be very surprised if we saw that.
Okay. And see, that's why I asked, because sometimes my blonde hair just totally gets in the way.
Understood, Jeff.
So, well, I'm going to not disagree with you, but take a different path. How's that for politically correct?
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
It's almost as if I have something to do with your paycheck.
We get paid? all right, so what I think is going to happen is that eventually certainly not this year, but at some point we will see a second iPhone model that has some different features than the current model. And I don't know what those are, because I'm not as clever as Steve Jobs and John Ives.
I'll bet you 50 iTunes bucks that we will not see more than one iPhone model on the market at any given time, at least in the next two to three years at the earliest.
So, okay, well.
You going to take that bet with me?
Sure, I'll take that bet with you.
50 iTunes bucks. I'm saying that there will never be more than two different models in terms of form factor and major features on the market at any given time.
All right, now, just so everyone knows how this works, typically when I make a bet, it actually changes how reality works so that I will lose. So the iPhone model that Steve Jobs is going to announce next year has now been wiped out of existence, all because I just made a bet.
No, Apple may well introduce a new model next year, but it'll take the place of the current model entirely.
Okay.
They're not going to want the confusion in the marketplace.
You know, there is a lot of confusion in the marketplace with cell phones right now, so I can totally see that.
So it's a much different situation than with iPods, where they've got to meet different needs. In this particular case, the combination of internet browsing device and cell phone and mail and contact manager and all that sort of stuff dictates that it have a screen that's, you know, roughly as big as it is. So, you know, the reductions in size are all going to be in basically being able to make the thickness smaller and the top and bottom smaller.
You know, I don't have any problem jumping sides on this argument, especially because I fully realize that that I have already lost the bet.
Woohoo!
50 songs for Brian. one thing that makes it totally logical for Apple to have only one phone on the market at a time is the fact that the iPhone has a feature that no other cell phone on the market really has, which is that it can be upgraded. You don't have to throw out or trade in your old model to get the new features.
You mean firmware upgraded, of course.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, you know, any other changes, of course, you would have to trade up.
Well, if Apple wanted to, like, enhance an application.
Yes.
Then
that's
firmware, something
that... Firmware and software updates will be, you know, manageable through your Mac and your PC.
Yes.
Probably through iTunes is what I think they're going to do.
I agree. I think you're right.
Yeah. But, you know, once Apple adds a bigger camera or, you know, a better battery, all those kinds of things like that, a better screen or, you know, whatever, that, of course, would take trading in your iPhone for a new one.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So the firmware software related side of the iPhone, that's specifically what I'm talking about here. So as an example, if I wanted to upgrade my Razr to have the features that the current models have as far as software goes, I have to get a new Razr.
With the
iPhone, you don't do that.
Yep, and that is just a great thing, you know, especially as complex as the iPhone is, of course. I mean, obviously, the company has to make it to where the darn thing can be updated, because it would otherwise be a catastrophe. But other than the obvious aspect of that, Jeff, I think that you're very right. Your original point was that this is a big bonus for the product, and I agree with that.
Hooray! See, that softens the sting of the 50 iTunes bucks that you'll be getting in 2 years. Okay.
Excellent.
Now, the whole iPhone pre-release hype that's going on. Do you really think that the hype that we're seeing right now, which truly is at a fevered pitch, do you think it's justified?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, I think that this is going to be a somewhat revolutionary product. And, yeah, you know, I stopped drinking the Apple Kool-Aid a long time ago, but in this particular case, you know, the company is just striking a chord with folks. So they're going to sell a lot of these things this year, more than Steve Jobs initially said, maybe not as much as the most optimistic analysts say. And I think that those sales will probably continue to rise as long as the market, you know, continues to not be able to come up with any competing device that works as well as the iPhone.
You know, we don't disagree on very much, and we're not disagreeing here either. I totally agree. I think the hype is justified. And as an example on people not getting what's really happening here with this product, because Apple is changing the market, I think. When Steve Jobs announced the iPhone at Macworld Expo, we were all sitting there watching all of this happen and watching the ripples of energy go through the crowd as people realized what he was showing. Mm-hmm. There was a gentleman from a major network sitting beside me. He had never been to Macworld Expo before. And he's sitting beside me, and he's watching all of this happen. And it was almost like a church revival, people swooning in the aisles. And he says,
Can I hear an amen?
Amen, brother. And he was at a loss. He didn't understand why everyone was so worked up. He goes, they announced a smartphone. So what? And so I said, okay, you don't get what just happened here. Steve Jobs just made every phone on the planet obsolete. And he goes, well...
Yeah, well, I don't know that I would go quite that far.
Well, when I was
sitting
there...
But I think that he has shown, or that once it's released, that the world is going to see that every other cell phone sucks.
Oh, yes. Every other cell phone does suck. And when I was sitting there at the expo with my razor in my lap, and I'm looking at that, and I look over at the guy from the network, and I said, every phone is obsolete. Of course, in my mind, what I'm seeing is my cell phone is obsolete. But since I'm the center of my world, it might as well be every cell phone is obsolete.
indeed. And you know, there is going to be plenty of room for competition for the iPhone in the market. The low-end market is obviously not being addressed by Apple. There are folks who simply don't need or want all the features that the iPhone has to offer, and likely never will need or want those features. And that, you know, that's going to be a size, that's going to be the lion's share of the market, the vast lion's share of the market. So, you know, Apple is not going to become the only cell phone maker on the planet. They're just going to be getting a significant piece by significant. I mean, you know, if they hit anything over 1%, in my opinion, is pretty significant, especially since they're coming in with no experience in this market. But I think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, about the announcements Apple has been dropping on us this week, like we found out about longer battery life and the new display, and so that's the big one. But Apple has been giving us little tidbits along the way. So, gee, Brian, what do you think? Was that just coincidence, or did Apple plan that?
Well, you know, I wonder. It'd be real easy to think that. Actually, I'm going to use a Joss Whedon example. One of the things.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, better yet, I'm going to use a Joss Whedon and J.J. Abrams example. One of my most favorite and least favorite TV producers in the market. Actually, Joss doesn't do any TV stuff. Anyway, the point is this: Joss Whedon has this fantastic knack. He and the team that he ended up, you know, training in the Joss Whedon way, had this fantastic knack of grabbing hold of little things that would happen in a series and then bringing them back later and having them be a part of what's going on. Now, a lot of these things were planned. For instance, for Buffy fans, there were hints of Dawn coming, I think as early as the third season, if I remember correctly. But there's a whole bunch of other things that weren't necessarily planned, but were grasped upon as fantastic opportunities to bring that continuity in the lore. And so, but because of the things that were planned, you know, we Buffy fans would tend to look at Joss and say he's a bloody genius because he's always planning these little things. So my point being, my very rambling point being, that sometimes things just happen as opposed to Apple planning them from the get-go. Oh, wait. Now, do I need to throw J.J. Abrams in there since I mentioned him?
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah.
Yeah, everything that looks clever that J.J. Abrams ever thought about doing was a complete accident. Everything, whereas Joss planned a lot of stuff. So that was my contrary thing there. Anyway, that was so weak it's not even funny. I think that the announcement probably came when Apple needed to make it. I mean, certainly they probably could have announced it a bit before, but you know, I think that with criticism about battery life and stuff being what they were, that if Apple could have announced the increased battery life earlier, they would have. And you know, maybe there was issues about you know, securing a proper supply of the glass. You know, there are a million reasons why the announcements could have come when they did. One reason is that Apple is just, you know, unbelievably brilliant at timing. The other is that, well, you know, they just look like they're unbelievably brilliant this time.
And either way, unbelievably brilliant ends up in the sentence.
That's absolutely true.
So are you going to go stand in line for one?
You know, I'm going to be covering one of the events for sure. I don't plan on actually standing in line to buy one, but I will have one that first day.
I don't think I'm going to have one the first day because I'm still torn over the whole thing about T-Mobile coverage versus AT&T coverage in the Denver Boulder Front Range area. So,
I'm lucky because AT&T's coverage here in the Bay Area is significantly better than anyone else's.
Oh, so perfect. So now, I won't be standing in line, but I will be going up to the Boulder Apple Store, which I believe is the 29th Street Apple Store. Because there's actually going to be a large group of people setting up campers and doing a whole overnight camp out thing.
Cool.
Just to be in line. So I'm going to go up and see what they have going on. And then I'll go back to see what happens when the floodgates open at 6 p.m. on Friday night.
And, of course, we'll have coverage of all these things, including photo galleries, going up on the Mac Observer or actually probably iPodObserver.com.
Yes, that's right. We will be doing that as well. Absolutely.
And doesn't that just seem like the perfect place to end the context machine?
You know, I think that, yes, absolutely. It's amazing.
Doesn't it seem like a perfect place to end the podcast?
You know, it kind of does. But before we end the podcast, I have to remind people, if they have comments, that they're welcome to email us, and the address is roundup@macobserver.com. And with that, I'm going to give us a nice little riff so we can do a little wrap-up.
All right.
All right, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to Apple Weekly Report. And just for everyone that's still wondering where Ricky is, we haven't let him come back from summer camp yet. I believe this week he's been working on his rendition of Kumbaya. And I can't wait to hear how it comes out.
As I understand it, he's been working on humming the second harmony part, and it's coming along great.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all I've got.
As always, since you're already listening, stay subscribed.
Stay subscribed, and we'll see you next week.